Man, I can't wait till one day all these cares and troubles, all the pains, sorrows, woes, worries, fears, it'll all be over. That should be exciting and encouraging for those who are holding on to Christ. I'm excited for that myself. I can't wait. I can't wait. But while I'm here, I'm still living. And I'm not dead yet. And I'm going to celebrate Him and look forward to His coming all the while I'm still standing. And if you have any life left in you, you need to be showing somebody they can live too. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm in the 69th chapter. And we'll read from verse 29 through to verse 33. But before we begin, I want to share with you this that God showed me today, because I really feel like that it's relevant, or I wouldn't take the time to read this to you. Through the years, people have asked me, what should I do after I have prayed? When I have attended church, when I have tithed and worshiped and give all that I have, when I serve God, quote the word, believing while still seeing the things as not as what I want them to be. And in these times when we don't see what we want is when God begins to call for a sacrifice of praise. God knows it's a sacrifice to say, thank you, Jesus. To say, hallelujah. Or praise the Lord. When we can hardly say anything at all. God knows it's a sacrifice to say glory to God when it seems like that you have lost more than you have gained. But let me tell you about something with serving God. It is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. It costs you something when you say these things. It costs you something when you lift up your hands. It costs you something when you get in your car and drive yourself to the sanctuary. It costs you something when you come, even when you don't feel like it. The words that we speak to God come at a great price. But the beauty of it all is that you have chosen to go ahead and praise Him anyway. And this is what the Lord put in my spirit for this evening. Nothing is sweeter or more precious or dear to God's heart than when you and I begin to offer up a sacrifice of praise. He gave up the blood of goats and bulls just to hear you and me praise Him. Just to hear you and me tell Him that we love Him. Just to hear you and I calling out on His great name. Even though we'd rather be quiet or complain or continue to talk about the mistreatment that we are facing in the moment. I don't know if you've ever found this to be true, but complaining gets me nowhere. Gets me nowhere fast. And after we have poured it all out to the Lord, after we have voiced all of our concerns, prayed all our petitions, and standing on our faith, what we must learn to step out and continue in is to offer a sacrifice of praise to Him. Let's begin to read this scripture, and I'll preach this thought that God has put in my heart. Verse 29 in the Psalm 69 chapter. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than the ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Turn to the next scripture in Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verse 15 there in just a moment. When we don't feel like it, when we're not even sure of ourselves anymore, when we feel like we're going under, when we know that the battle is far from over, this is when we need to begin to offer up our sacrifice of praise. God loves the sacrifice of praise because when it is offered up by his children, he sees the soul that would be lost without him. Let's read this scripture and we'll begin. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Father, we thank you and praise you tonight for how that you have moved, how that you have anointed for this hour. But Lord, we need you to give us encouragement. We need that exhortation. We need that leadership, God. And as you have called your messenger to be here tonight, Lord, I need you to do this all entirely and nothing of me, Lord. Let me be only a mouthpiece to deliver this thought unto your people. That God, that by it, that we not only hear it, but we do it. And Lord, I believe, God, as you have sent this word tonight, that you're going to cause your people to step out even more than we've stepped out before. And I believe, God, that as a result of this word by faith, I'm claiming, God, that we're going to begin to have a greater energy and zeal to step out even more to do your will. For God, we need to be on fire today if we have ever been on fire in our entire life. And I pray, God, that you open up our eyes with this sermon tonight, that we begin to understand the significance of the sacrifice of praise. And Lord, I pray, God, for your help, for I know that if you do it, I'll worry not. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. In the church said, amen. For most, we find that they're in and out without having a regular, disciplined, established experience with God. And so when you are in and out all the time, it's really easy to come in when you've been down, and when God begins to move, all of a sudden you're able to instantly get up, feel the power of God stirring you, and all of a sudden everything that was bothering you no longer bothers you. But then we head back out the door that evening, and the same battles that we were struggling with before we got to church, we're still dealing with them in that moment. And as this continues on and the devil is putting the press on people, they begin to grow more weary and weary of the experience of church. Church becomes something that they feel like they have to do and not something that they should want to do. It becomes something that they feel like that if they show up, that it's only to condemn them and to hurt them and to beat them up, to make them feel less of themselves. And as the stereotypes grow about Christianity as it is, it's hard enough to even prove to anybody that you're a legitimate Christian, especially by how we carry ourselves when we're out in the world. But as I begin in my ministry with God, I'm just going to share with you some of my experience. When I first started out in ministry, I would be as bold and brave as to say that I was very dependent on the praises of people. I was very dependent on encouragement of other people to help me along, to tell me good job, to keep going, to, you know, to pray for me, to bring me up and pray for me, to anoint me before I preach. And I remember having all these experiences as I was starting out, and I began to think to myself, God, how wonderful it was that you were able to help me even when I couldn't even do all of it on my own. But as I have grown in this thing, I've learned that he has established me in the ministry. There's no turning back. There's no running away. There isn't any hanging it up. There's no resigning. There's no quit in the ministry of God. But I began to pray and seek him, because I don't know if you've ever had this kind of fatigue hit you before, but what I like to call it is compassion fatigue. You feel like that you could just give and give and give, and you give to the point that you're exhausted and you think, what more do I have to give? You come and you praise and you praise and you praise, and you think to yourself, what good is my praises doing? You come up and you pray for people in the altar, you pray for them, you pray for them, you pray for them, and over time it begins to wear on you in your mind, thinking to yourself, am I being effective? Am I doing something that means something? Am I doing something that is seriously benefiting the kingdom of heaven? As we begin to question or doubt ourselves, Satan begins to come along, strolling along, trying to dissuade us from our calling and our ministry. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't mind if we just come in here for an hour, make a bunch of noise, look like we're having a good time, and go home. But if you begin to have an experience with God that changes what you do every day of your life, that's when you begin to know that you have a connection with the Holy Spirit. When church becomes more than just coming in to make yourself feel better about what you've done, and it begins to be what causes you to adjust your life to align with Him greater, that's when you know you're starting to have an experience with God. So it went beyond just being able to preach a little while, feel good, sit down, and feel content. God began to open up my spirit and help me to realize that the battle is not even what I see with my eyes. It goes much deeper and beyond what our vision would even entail. Friends, you might not think that we have enough people to fight anything tonight, but I'm here to tell you right now, in the spiritual realm, we've got an army sitting in here. My Lord and my God, if you looked at how we looked in the spiritual realm, you wouldn't doubt anything that you had to do, but you'd begin to believe in what's inside you. So as I begin to seek God about how that I can eliminate myself from being fatigued all the time with what I'm doing, you have to understand how important it is that you do it. Because to be honest with you, it'd be real easy for me to say, well, why don't somebody else come and preach? Easier than you'd think. It'd be real easy for me just to say, brothers, make room for me. I'm finally just going to sit in the ship and bask in the glory of God.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Well, who's in your stead when you decide to hang it up?
Yeah.
Well, brother, I'm just going to come and I'll sing in the choir and I don't really have to learn any new songs. I'll just be a voice in the background. All right. Well, what about that moment when God is wanting to use you and no one but you to serve and make the difference? Now, I'm here to tell you, it would be easy tonight to walk away and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And Satan is going to make it as convenient as possible for you when you say, I don't want to do this. He's going to be the voice in your head that tells you it's all right, you don't have to. He's going to be the tormentor on you that's going to tell you they don't really want you there. He's going to be the voice of discouragement to you that says, you know, even when you do it, they don't even care anyway. Has anybody ever dealt with this kind of discouragement before? I'm here to tell you, after I get through preaching every single service, when I do battle in the spiritual realm, I'm beat up all week long. And unless I had God to strengthen me, you would not find me walking up to the pulpit. You'd find me barely crawling to get up there to even read a scripture, because if I did not have him, when I come to step out for him, I would not be doing anything to the glory of God. What are you telling me, brother? My presence in this building tonight is a sacrifice. My wanting to be here to make a difference is a sacrifice. It's not something that I have to do, but it's something that I want to do. It's not something. Listen, God does not get things, but he doesn't get bored with what we do. He doesn't get bored if it's repetitious, because as long as we're giving him glory, then it is meaningful. You might not think that two or three people coming together in the name of Christ will make a difference, but he said we're one one would put 1,000 to flight, that there would be 2 to 10,000. You can go on to 100,000 and to 1,000,000. So let me just bargain with you here for a minute. Can we not come to the place in God where when we come in, we already know He's able, we already know He's been good to us, we already know we should be coming in and being active for the kingdom of heaven? Because if your fire's not burning, you're not bringing any heat to this cold and dead world, and you've got to show something more than just the status quo. And I know that when I'm talking about sacrifice, there's probably 30 of you in here tonight that said, well, brother, obedience is better than sacrifice. But if you're not willing to give up anything, you're not going to do anything. Oh, but there, when you have, let me tell you, if we had a choir of 200, you could not fight off the people that would want the worship leader position. Oh, I'm telling you what. If it begins to start looking easy when I preach, guess what? Some people begin to think within themselves, you know what? I think I could probably do that too. When things begin to look good in perspective, you'll find the weak Christians begin to start being encouraged to move towards the goodness of God. And guess what? That's what we want them to do. We want people to understand that the more that they come into the presence of God in their life, that the more established and stable they'll be in their daily living, right? But let's come to the point where we are ready to hang it up, all right? We're ready to give up. We're ready to quit the committee. We're ready to put up our hammer and our nails and say, you know what? I've done enough. But let me talk to you about the people that are looking for somebody to do something. Let me talk about the generation today that is looking for an answer, but they're not hearing the word of God. They're looking for a reason to live, and they don't feel the love from good Christians. They're looking for encouragement, but we're too busy coming in and only concerned about ourselves. And God wants us to know tonight that if you might not think that you were here for any reason at all, but the Lord said if He has brought you to this place, that He has brought you to be an encouragement to those that need to be encouraged. He called the body of Christ to edify one another. So if we can't even get along with one another, guess what? We're not edifying one another either. If we only get along with certain people, guess what? You're in a clique. If you can't come in and love everybody the same, you're in a clique. You're in a popularity contest. You're in serving for fame. You're in serving for somebody's approval. But God said if you'd come in and do His will, if you sought for the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, that all these other things would be added to you. So guess what? The deeper that I go, and the more that I give up for God, all of a sudden God begins to show me through how I'm living my life and the things that come my way, son, you have worked for me and you have sacrificed for me, and I'm going to pour out a blessing that you can't even contain. He said in the last days that He'd pour out Spirit on all flesh. But that's got to be somebody that opened their cup and say, Lord, I want it given unto me, God. Woo! I'm trying to be dignified, but my God, you didn't have the week that I had. My Lord, I've tried to be kind. I've tried to be polite, but I'm here to tell you, if God has been good to you, it's time to stop holding back and let the fire of God burn. It's the only way we're going to get sin out of the house. If we're not on fire for God, guess what? You ain't sanctifying nothing. Oh yeah, I said it. If you're not on fire for God, you ain't sanctifying a thing. Let me tell you something about fire. It doesn't care what you put in front of it. It's going to try to burn it. Oh, Lord. Have you ever looked at structures that were set aflame and you see everything that was malleable is consumed? Vinyl siding will burn up. Wood will burn up. But you'll find that in the midst of the rubble, you'll find that the stones that were used in that structure are still standing. Oh, my Lord and my God, if you'll begin to serve Him and you begin to rejoice concerning what you're going through, when it's all said and done at the end of the day, when you didn't think that you can make it, man, I feel the Holy Ghost, when you didn't think that you could make it, when you thought that there was no other way for this to gonna happen, you'll look at your rubble and you'll see a foundation that's not even been touched by the fire. And because God wants to refine you to the place where you'll be stable and established in Him. If we ain't burning, we ain't consuming. Amen. If we're not on fire, we're not consuming. I'm going to call it the junk. Oh, Lord. There are some places that I have been where I like to call it hoarding, the heaping up of stuff. And if you like a lot of stuff, I'm not against that. But here, let me just make a point about this. Some would see a lot of stuff as a good thing. But others would see a lot of stuff as junk. And there are some times that I look in my life and I think, God, if I just let you be on fire in my spirit sooner, you would have burned up all this junk I didn't even need anyway. Can I go a little bit deeper tonight? What I'm talking about goes beyond just praying that you feel good. What we're talking about tonight is going deeper into the heavenlies, beginning to wage warfare for things that we don't even think that we can claim, but I'm here to preach it to you tonight, that by faith whatsoever you desire through the will of God, you'll have it. So that means if you have somebody that's irrepentant, that they will not reconcile with you, God can cause your enemies, think about this, to be at peace with you. Don't say, God, smote, smite, and beat down my enemy. Say, Lord, save them. It's time that we stop being so defensive and reactive and begin to be more proactive for the kingdom of heaven. So we're about to break this down to kibbles and bits. Here we go. Number one, each and every opportunity that you come in, you are already giving a sacrifice by being here. All right? Number two, by being here, you are showing some sign of desire to serve Him. Otherwise, if you are not beyond point two, you're blind to your own troubles. All right? So if you're coming in and you're wanting to serve God more, then most of the time we get stuck on this third point. We have a desire to do something, but we see how hard it is and wonder if it's meaningful. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Not everybody will tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. Why? Because I take risks for the glory of God. And here's what I'm going to tell you. It is not only necessary that you obey Him, but it is meaningful to all those around you. All right? I'm not going to toot my horn. I'm going to use an example. I'll use my brother sitting right here. At some point in time, I'm sure Odiva has been a great blessing to you, has he not? And if we could show by a hand clap of how much that he's been a blessing to us, we all could clap right now, couldn't we? Right? But if we come in and don't sacrifice of ourselves to say, you know, brother, bless you, you do such a wonderful job, then over time, even the strongest can grow weak. It's just an example. Has nothing to do with him. I didn't want to toot my own horn. I don't want you to applaud for me. I want you to understand this. It is a sacrifice to love other people. And it's necessary. What did he say the evidence of God burning alive in you was? To love your neighbor as you would love you. And I don't know if you love yourself as much as I love me, but let me tell you, I've got a good relationship going on with me. We've been together 31 years and it's been awesome. I know exactly what he wants. I know exactly how he wants it, and I know when he wants it and what he wants to do. I've got me down pretty good. But if I come into the house of God and I'm only worried about what I want and not the people around me, then we've already failed the ministry. We have places, let me tell you, they're full. They're fully populated churches, millions of people, millions of dollars. And I have nothing against mega churches that are going for the right reason. But let me tell you, I've talked to people that go to bigger churches and I've asked them, well, why do you enjoy going to a bigger one over a smaller one? Number one, they say, I like being able to hide. I like being able just to be, you know, just another face in the crowd. I don't want to be identified. I don't want to be personalized. I just want to go and have a good experience. But let me tell you, where there is compromise, where there is a backing down to the Word of God, you're going to find that's where everybody wants to go. We have government things that are being passed that are against our scriptures. And guess what? Everybody's on board. But we shouldn't be on board. We should have a greater boldness in us to call what is right and what is wrong, correct? But have you not felt the pressure from people to change your mind? Sure you have. And let me tell you, the same pressure that people put on you to try to be more politically correct is the same pressure that the devil will put on you when you come to the house of God and you want to do something, but he'll stop at nothing to get you to not do anything. I'm here to tell you, there was a time when there was not anything I felt like that could stand in my way. And the devil tested me with everything he had. In the same week of time, I had car trouble in both vehicles. I had health problems with me. I had work problems that I was afraid would cost me to not be able to work anymore. I had so many issues going on at the same time. But guess what? I'm happy to testify that that Friday at the end of the week, I found myself in the house of God. I found myself opening the scripture, and I found myself continuing to preach. I didn't come in and tell you about all the troubles and problems that was trying to keep me from the ministry. What I was trying to show God that night was, even in spite of what I've lost, I'm willing still to pay the cost. If you think about the sacrifice that was given for us, you'll find that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you, that you would not only not have to use goats and bulls anymore to show your thankfulness, but he wanted to create a deeper fellowship with you, that it would not be as difficult for you to reach out and say that you were thankful to him. Amen. So as the Spirit is alive in us and the blood is upon us through his sacrifice, we have authority. We have a foothold on Satan. We have the keys to death, hell, and the grave. We already know the end of the book. We already know of the goodness that we're going to get to reap. We already know that the scripture told us that it was going to be hard while we're down here. But the scripture also said, let us offer a sacrifice of praise continually. Because let me tell you about the word continually. You can come in and not do it, and guess what? Life may go on. But for somebody that needed your testimony, but for somebody that needed that praise, they're missing out, and the blood is on our hands. And yet we wonder, God, I'm coming in and I'm serving you. I'm here and I'm trying my best, but things still seem to be going wrong. And the Holy Spirit put in my heart today that until we come with the heart that wants to help others, until we come in with the heart to love everybody, to come together. Oh yeah, I'm going here. If I'm not going to go here, there'd be somebody else that would. And come together into the fullness of love and joy in Christ. Paul made several visits and found that the churches he had once established had grown weak. And what did he tell them? Get on the meat. You're spiritually weak. And I'm not going to kick the dead horse. We already preached on getting off the milk. But you've got to understand something. Here we go. If you're going to get something from God, it's going to cost you something. The only thing in life that was free was salvation. It is going to cost you something. So here's my question tonight. What's it worth to you? Is seeing your children delivered worth something to you? is seeing people drug-bound to be free worth something to you? Or are you concerned about your car, concerned about what people think about you, concerned about it costing you too much of your time and your effort? I found the more that I'm concerned for others, the more that God shows that He's concerned about me by blessing my cars, by blessing my job, by blessing my family. I'm here to tell you, you can have the closest family on earth, and Satan's still going to come and try to work on you. You can have the closest church family. You can go through a good